This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, I guess we're going to be doing a little bit of social media today. Who are we speaking with?
Victoria Salem is joining us today from Paris, France. Victoria is a professional coach and an events and networking expert. She helps individuals build better relationships so they can be more successful and create more opportunities. Victoria is a member of the Covent Garden Speakers in London, England. Her article on the benefits of networking online is featured in the October 2020 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Victoria Salem, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you so much, Guy. I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So your article, Building Valuable Relationships Through Social Media. When we often hear of social media, you seem to get these polar opposites. Some people go, oh, I really love it. And other people will say, oh, I don't really have time. I don't see the point. It's full of useless tweets, cat videos, foodie pics, and pontification from certain individuals. Why would you say building online relationships is really an important thing?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons why building relationship online is absolutely key for any individual. First of all, online networking is particularly relevant nowadays as we are forced to rely on online connections rather than in person. But not only, actually. Our world has evolved to be more online than face-to-face, thanks to the benefits we can get from using online networking. Think about it. 30% less in travel expenses. And that's only one part of the benefits. Building relationship online would also help you professionally. And it removes all the geographical restrictions. You can pretty much network with everyone, everywhere.
I guess what I want to ask you, Victoria, is it possible to really develop authentic, long-lasting, meaningful relationships through social media? It seems like so much of social media, as Greg was alluding to, is superfluous, or people just focused on promoting themselves or whatever they're thinking. But can we really get these long-lasting, meaningful relationships?
Absolutely. I think you have to consider social media as a first point of contact with anyone you want to connect with. After that, you develop the relationship elsewhere. You connect first online, and then you move the relationship to either meeting them face-to-face, if you can. Otherwise, you do, for example, something I started liking recently, virtual coffees. Yeah, of course, you don't stay on social media. You don't simply develop the relationship on social media. But it's interesting to note that a lot more people are relying on social media to follow their favorite brands or even simply to find information. I mean, LinkedIn, Twitter, and other platforms are absolutely amazing in terms of resources of information, but also to create opportunities. 35% of LinkedIn users state that they found a job through casual conversation on the platform. So there's a lot of opportunities out there, and it's just a question of knowing what you want to get from interacting on this platform, who would you like to meet with, and make sure that you develop the relationship elsewhere.
Wow. Virtual coffees, I know quite often they say it's a great way to break the ice is by meeting someone for coffee or having a glass of wine with them just to sort of casually get to know each other. Tell us a little more about these virtual coffees and how they work.
Well, in a similar way than you will do on a face-to-face basis, the main difference is that obviously you're facing a screen. But the main idea here is to have a quick catch-up with someone that either you already know or someone that you want to get to know better. And if there is one thing that is very key in those moments is to really try to connect with that person. Connecting doesn't just mean having a coffee and catching up on what they're up to and what you are up to. It's about finding things you have in common. And that's often one challenge I give to the people I coach. When it comes to virtual coffee, I just think it's a little bit nicer to have someone that you can actually see as opposed to just be on the phone. We can find ourselves quite lonely staying in front of our laptop all day long. So having a friendly face in front of us is just amazing. It can make such a difference in terms of connecting with a person.
Interesting. See, I was going to ask you what the difference between online and offline networking or online building relationships, but I'm almost thinking they're not mutually exclusive. They're almost really interconnected, as you were alluding to.
Yes, they are absolutely connected. And in the latest conference I gave, I realized by preparing that the process of networking online is exactly the same as the process of networking face-to-face. The main difference is how we do it. What I mean by preparing yourself is that setting clear objectives, setting goals, making sure that you understand why you want to network and who you would like to network with, to prepare yourself in terms of making sure your profiles are up to date and look professional. And that's the same when you network face to face. I would never recommend anyone to go to a networking event without having their profile on LinkedIn, for example, checked before. Then the networking process is the same. It's about connecting with individuals, getting to know them, finding ways to either help them or them to help you, and then following up. Just the way of doing it has changed slightly, but we will go back to face-to-face events. And in the meantime, we should definitely keep in touch with our existing network and keep on connecting with new like-minded professionals.
You're mentioning LinkedIn, and it's reminding me of something that I had highlighted in the article. You had mentioned about some awkwardness of having someone that you didn't necessarily know that well asking you to introduce them to someone else that perhaps you may or may not know. I'm curious, how did you handle that? And do you have a general recommendation as to how people really should take this on?
Well, I think one of the main recommendations I will give to anyone when it comes to networking and dealing with individuals is to remain authentic and to remain human. At the end of the day, we might be connecting online, we might be using those platforms, but we are all human beings behind those chats, behind those conversations. Making a mistake or feeling uncomfortable is a human emotion. So I think it's all about just being yourself and apologizing or just making fun of yourself sometimes just help as well in dealing with the situation. As long as you are sincere and authentic, I think the rest goes easily.
Victoria, you mentioned a startling statistic in the article. You state that since starting your events agency and training business in the year 2014, you found success in finding more than 75% of your clients through social media. I wonder, did you expect those results or did that take you even by surprise?
That definitely took me by surprise. And I keep on using it actually nowadays. I've recently had a very successful story by finding a new client online. It was back in May, we organized an online conference with the alumni group of my university. And at the beginning, the three organizers were discussing different matters. And I mentioned that I wanted to develop my client base both in France, but also in Switzerland. One of the participants overheard that. His company has a very strong base in Switzerland. That guy is someone I had met previously at a face-to-face event, and we are connected on LinkedIn. So he reached out and said that he could possibly introduce me to the HR manager of his firm in Geneva, which was very nice from him. So I took the opportunity, and he introduced me with that lady. We had a quick phone call early July, but nothing really came out from that conversation. The day after, someone that is connected with her on LinkedIn checked out my LinkedIn. I realized that this gentleman was based in Switzerland in the training and coaching business, as I mentioned, already connected to her. So I reached out to him. We exchanged a few messages. It occurred that this guy was this lady's husband. An interesting coincidence. In August, he reached out to me again because he needed some new trainers for a new client in Switzerland. And since August, I've been working every week with them, and they've become one of my biggest clients. And this was all through connecting online.
Wow.
Yeah, we signed our first contract. I had never met the guy. So I think it's all about positioning yourself in the right places, making sure you're visible, making sure that people can actually find you and see you, but for the right reason as well. So utilizing keywords, for example, is very important when you share content or when you present yourself on different platforms. I'm talking a lot about LinkedIn because that's one platform I use, I would say, on a daily basis. But depending on what you do and where you are and to whom you want to promote yourself, it could be your business or you individually. Different platform might be more relevant to what you need, to your objective. But in the first place, defining your objective is the first things to do, making a plan.
Victoria, have you found that Toastmaster clubs are having similar success in leveraging social media to find new members and grow their membership?
I think, strangely enough, I don't think Toastmaster groups and clubs, at least not the one I'm part of, are using social media enough to promote their clubs, simply because it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of organization, and unless someone really dedicates the time to do it, they probably won't be taking the steps of promoting themselves. I've seen some clubs doing it very well and promoting themselves on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and other social media platform. But I think it's a key thing that all Toastmaster clubs should be doing if they want to gain more members and simply have more visitors, especially nowadays that we are all online-based. Most of the Toastmaster clubs, I think, are meeting online.
And whether you're an individual or a Toastmasters club or some other organization, there's so many options available today, Victoria. We have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, LinkedIn. More recently, I've been seeing a lot of people moving to Parler and MeWe. With all of these options, how do you wade through them and choose and know where to establish your presence or grow your presence?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question, and thank you for asking it. Again, it all comes back to having a clear strategy. The first thing that a club, an individual, or any other enterprise should really question is, what am I expecting the results to look like? What do I want to gain from that interaction online? What do I want to gain from networking on the social platforms? And who do I want to reach to? Because that's very key. You won't find the same people on all those platforms. You won't be interacting in the same way on all those platforms. Making sure that you understand why you want to do it and create a plan from that will really help you in terms of defining how and where. But if you don't have the why, it's very difficult to define the how and the where. So I would say that's a process that starts from a little bit like setting up a business plan. What is it that I want to achieve? What are my objectives? What are my exact goals? What do I want to target? And then try it out, because it might be that it works better on Facebook for a certain type of population, a certain crowd. But it might be that Instagram might be better, you know, like posting some videos on some of the meetings. Or it might be that LinkedIn works better because some people are more professional objective when they join a club. So it really depends as well, I think, on the spirit of your club. I have joined quite a few clubs just to see what others were doing. And it's quite funny to see the differences in terms of the club spirit. My club, for example, has a very professional spirit in the sense that people are really there to learn, to grow. It's really run as a business. Well, I think some of the clubs, it's a lot more about socializing. And yes, of course, there's the public speaking and the leadership part, but it's a lot more relaxed, in a sense. So maybe those two type of clubs will be promoted in different places because they will attract different type of individuals.
So out of curiosity, which is your home club? Because right now, obviously, you're in Paris, your home club is in, or one of your clubs is in England. So where is your home club and how did you sort of get started in Toastmasters?
So my home club is in London, the Covent Garden Speakers Club. And Toastmaster and me, it's a very long journey. I started looking at the organization a while back. At that time, I was actually not at all confident. I had just barely started my company. But I promised myself I would join a meeting. And I always found an excuse or something else to do until the point when I told myself, enough is enough, push yourself and try it out. And I was lucky enough that the first club I tried was the one I fell in love with and joined right away. And I'm not joking, I was filling in the membership form right after the meeting over breakfast. And I didn't make my life easy as I joined a club that meets every Tuesday at 7 a.m. UK time. But I did this for a few reasons. First of all, it's one of the most welcoming clubs I've ever experienced. And if any of you guys listening wants to join, please try it out. Covent Garden Speaker is fantastic. But the second thing is that the fact that we are meeting that early in the morning means that the people making it are motivated and are really here to learn and progress, which ultimately creates a good atmosphere to grow, which is what most people want from joining a Toastmaster club. And last but not least, and that was very personal, running an event and a coaching agency, my evening were always busy with social obligations, so I knew that not attending a morning meeting would only be due to my laziness, and I knew I wouldn't allow that. Listen, my journey at Toastmaster has been really rewarding. I have evolved so much and learned a lot about public speaking and leadership.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I just never would have guessed from speaking with you that you were one who was shy or reticent to join Toastmasters.
Well, definitely. I was thinking they're going to put me on the spot and ask me questions and yeah.
I want to pivot a little bit to the strategy of staying in contact with your network. You mentioned in the article about using Excel to manage your contacts. And I'm trying to imagine what that looks like. And I'm picturing you having this Excel spreadsheet with like thousands of contacts in it. At the same time, finding it challenging to imagine keeping tabs on everyone in your network on all of the social channels. So can you give us a behind the scenes look at what that really looks like for you?
Yes, of course. Going back to that objective and your goals, you have to be clear on who you would like to store in that Excel sheet. You cannot store all of your contacts. I, for example, have more than 5,000 connections on LinkedIn. There's no way I can store all of those contacts, plus other contacts I may have, which are not necessarily LinkedIn connected. But I think what is key with this Excel spreadsheet is that you keep a listing of your key contacts, maybe the three levels of like really important people you want to stay in touch with. And I think I mentioned it on the in the article that you might even want to list them from one to three, one being your A-lister, your really, really key contacts, the one that you really want to stay in touch with on a regular basis. And those are the ones you should actively meet up for virtual coffees or maybe just send a catch-up email. But this spreadsheet should be quite targeted towards your objective. And maybe you could have two spreadsheets depending on two different objectives that you may have. But it's all about keeping storage of useful information about your most important contacts, such as, I'm being a bit random here, but their favorite color or their favorite sport or their favorite holiday destination. It's all about how can I best connect with them so the next time I reach out to them, I have something personal to say to them in the email or in the phone conversation. Because at the end of the day, it's all about making those connections personal, making sure that you show that you are interested and you care about the person in front of you. So you're building trust. If someone likes you, they will be willing to help you somehow. So it's all about how can I help that person? How can I build this connection that is a little bit deeper than just, hey, this is what I sell. Do you need that? Because I receive those messages on LinkedIn and those are one, very annoying. And second, I disconnect with everyone that sends me that. Yeah. It's very untargeted and very unpersonal.
So speaking of the information you gather and the people that you want to help, how do you manage the distribution of this? Do you say, hey, here's a great article and you personalize it to an individual? Or do you have special settings or do you have groups that you send? How do you handle that? Because I can imagine with 5,000 contacts and all your clients and, of course, all the Toastmasters that you connect with, there's quite an abundance of information that you can potentially share.
No, absolutely. The A-lister, your number one contact, I will try to have a one-on-one conversation or individualized email on a regular basis. But regular basis doesn't mean every week, it could be every month. Again, it depends on your objective and it depends if you're in need of something at that point. Not that you should only connect when you need something because that's a mistake. You should connect on a regular basis, but it doesn't have to be on a daily basis. Then, for example, LinkedIn and many other social media allows you to, one, stay in touch with your contact by making the settings that you receive notification when something new happens to them. So that's a good way, for example, if you allocate, let's say, half an hour a day on LinkedIn, you can easily see what's new for your contacts. And by just liking or commenting on their publication or the changes in their professional career or something, it's an easy way to stay in touch without putting in too much effort. Sharing content is a great way as well to stay in the radar and also stay in touch without actively staying in touch. There's a lot of different ways actually you can somehow keep the relationship alive. And it's all about which mediums do you feel comfortable using, because there's no point forcing yourself to tweet every day if Twitter is not the platform you like using. Mm. Nowadays, with the new platform we're using, for example, Zoom, it's so easy to set up your own event, become the host. And it's so easy then to create a small catch-up, half an hour drink, you know, with your past colleagues or a morning coffee with someone. That is like without moving anywhere.
Yeah.
you're saving so much time, so you can do so much more as well. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything and nothing because you're losing focus, but there is so much more that you can do.
Victoria, what do you think about using one of the tools like Hootsuite or Buffer or one of the many, many tools out there that allows users to pre-schedule posts for posting at a future date? Do you recommend that? Do you think there are downsides to using those kinds of tools? What do you think?
I think Hootsuite is very useful, especially for busy entrepreneurs, because you can spend, let's say, 2 hours just focusing on social media, focusing on what you want to share that week, and allocate that time, which is a lot more efficient than if you had to go in every day a little bit. On the other hand, you're pretty much stuck on that one day, let's say Sunday, so you can't be flexible in terms of what you spend. You can't really be spontaneous. So I would say, yes, of course, I think it's a great tool to use and a great time saver for a lot of people. But this shouldn't replace any communication or any interaction with other users. That should be done separately, because this is like something you have to do yourself manually. You know, liking someone's post, making a comment, sending an email, those cannot be automatized.
I'm thinking about all the information that we get. I'm thinking social media fatigue. The other day, I was going through Twitter, and of course, with the U.S. election happening, Twitter has exploded. I had to scroll past maybe 50 or 60 tweets before I actually came across one that was actually worth looking at. What would you recommend in terms of a nice balance of being able to give information, stay relevant, stay visible, but not come across as really spamming someone or having them say, okay, I appreciate what you're sending me. It's just too much already.
On most platforms, you can tune in and out what information you want to receive. Shut down some accounts and you can decide what type of information you want to get on your feed. I agree with you that it can be very overwhelming with all the information, both on emails, on social media platforms. I mean, all the time, every day, every hour, we are bombarded with information. So it's very key that you select what information you want to receive. Again, maybe coming back to that Excel spreadsheet with your key contacts, the key companies you want to follow, the key companies you're working with. It might not be individuals, it might be companies as well, you know, some partners you have that you really want to keep connected with. Having some settings that allow you to receive only the necessary information will make your life a lot easier. But in the same way you can unsubscribe from emails, you can do the same on most social media platforms. Not unsubscribe, but you can turn off certain notifications if you feel they're not relevant to your objective, they're not relevant to you professionally at that point, and you can turn them on later on as well if you change your mind.
I know the answer is probably it's going to depend, but is there a general formula? So for example, how often one should post on LinkedIn or Twitter? Is there just a general rule of thumb for someone who's just starting out so that they don't get to a point where they're spamming someone?
I think there's no right or wrong answer to that, because as you rightly said at the beginning, it will depend on who you are and what your objectives are. But I think the main thing to remember is that if it's relevant and you really have something interesting to say, then yes, absolutely, share it. Why not? If it's not relevant and it's just sharing for sharing, then I think that's not appropriate. But you have to keep consistent in what you share. You have to always think about, who is my audience? Why do they want to hear from me? It's not about what do you want to say to them. It's what they want to hear. And it's a little bit the same when we give a talk, for example. If we want to present with impact, we have to stop thinking about what is it that I want to say, but we want to start thinking about what is it that my audience needs to hear to do what I want them to do. And it's all about switching focus.
Yeah, I think you really just gave us an important key here, focusing on the needs of your audience. I wonder if you might have another two or three points when you're working with, say, a new client who's been trying to implement social media for networking on their own. What are a few of the common mistakes that you see, or a few of the common tweaks that you find yourself giving your clients over and over again to help them turn around what they're doing from something that's not working to being more effective?
Yeah, so I think it's coming back to the point I've just made. A lot of people straight away, they want to sell their products. This is what I want to sell. This is what I have to offer. But instead, what about asking what your audience needs? What is it that you guys need? How can I help you? And asking question, understanding who you have in front of you is absolutely key when it comes to connecting and connecting through social media as you are connecting on face-to-face. Trying to understand what our customers want is the first thing that we should be doing. So tweaking a little bit in the way we communicate is very important in terms of getting success and interaction on social networks. Then also, how do we stand out? How do we grab attention? And it's the same, I always say, when you introduce yourself, that applies on social media or on face-to-face or when you are having social interaction, virtual coffees, virtual meetings, make sure that you grab the attention of the person in front of you. We are overwhelmed with online virtual events. Try to make the difference by saying something unique, something interesting, something intriguing. Mm. I would introduce myself by saying something they should absolutely know about me today. I give you an example. My name is Victoria. I'm excited to be here today. I'm a professional development coach. And if there's one thing you should know about me, is that I'm passionate about building relationships. And straight away, it's a little bit different than just stating what you do. You're sharing something personal. You're sharing something that maybe they could also relate to. Oh, but me too, I'm passionate about building relationships. But it could be something totally different. It could be, I'm passionate about traveling, or I'm passionate about, you know, whatever is it that you feel sharing. I think that's always one thing I hear when I give a talk or when I speak to someone, is that I always hear, oh, you are so passionate about what you do. But it's so important when you share information, when you communicate with someone. And last but not least, I think showing authenticity and being yourself is very key.
Well, as our time is slowly coming to a close, obviously there are some challenges with social media and trying to build those relationships. But at the same time, you've certainly proven that there is still success to be had. So I'm curious if you could just offer a quick tip for someone who is trying to step up or make connections in their business, or even a Toastmasters club. They feel that there's an opportunity there to get new members, especially now with the challenging times. It's harder to get those members. Maybe what's one thing that they could do to get started today?
Define your goals and your objectives. That will help you reach out to the right people to get a clear strategy. Otherwise, there's no point in networking. Once you've set up your goal and you've spotted the right opportunities, just get going. Go online, try things out. I often get the questions, how can someone network online if they are an introvert? How can they express themselves, etc.? There's no right or wrong answer. You have to try things out. You shouldn't be networking everywhere all the time. This is going to be very tiring and you're not going to have fun. At the end of the day, building those relationships and using online networking to do that should be a fun process. So I would suggest that they get themselves prepared and ready so they feel more confident in the first place. And then they try things out. Research events, research different platforms where you can share information and connect with individuals. Make sure that you know what you want, because that's going to help you in terms of achieving more and finding yourself a little bit more motivated, because it will take time and effort. Try to have fun in the process. Networking is fantastic if you know how to do it and if you embrace it in the right way.
Sage advice.
Yes, Victoria, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your hard-fought wisdom with us. Can you tell our listeners how they can best connect with you if, let's say, they have a follow-up question or maybe even want to avail themselves of your coaching services? What's the best way to get in touch?
Absolutely. So I'm an avid user of LinkedIn, so that would probably be the best place to start. Anyone who would like to connect can send me a message via LinkedIn, and then we'll move on to an email or maybe, why not, a virtual coffee. Otherwise, you can also find more information and some emails contact directly on my website at tgncoaching.co.uk.
And we will, of course, link that in the show notes for this episode. Victoria Salem, thanks so much for joining us on the Toastmasters podcast today.
Thank you so much to you guys. This was great.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, We've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.